Blog Talk Radio.
And was like, yo, we'd love to have you guys come in. And, you know, we were like, wow, this is perfect. You know, this is way more visually stunning than, you know, someone's garage.
It's good to cash in on gazebo rock. It's very big right now.
Yeah, yeah. I was really shooting for that gazebo, you know. I wanted to rock the fuck out of that gazebo.
And, you know, there's promos online, and we'll embed one in the episode page. And what really caught my attention is you got the great and talented Neil Hamburger to cut a promo for the Black Dahlia murder. In fact, I'm going to pull it up right now, but let me ask you, how did you guys get in touch with the great Neil Hamburger?
Dude, he's actually the host of the entire thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We got really lucky with that too. Have to, pat EJ on the back. He's our manager. He pulled the strings there. At first we were like, well, he opened that Mr. Bungle show. So, you know, he's got to be like somewhat aware of what's going on or like somewhat reachable. And it turns out that he used to tour manage Mr. Bungle and that he's also like played with Secret Chiefs 3. I didn't know that. But yeah, you know, it's just some back and forth for a while. We were looking at different impersonators for a while. That was funny too. We had not Tom Cruise on the line there for a while. And we had this Morgan Freeman that looked exactly like him. But once we like got the voice sample, like it just wasn't there. He didn't have that soothing iconic voice that you need, you know? So, yeah, I'm amazed this whole thing has come together, how it has. We had the idea like a week before we executed it. And, you know, it was something that like the label has been asking for. They've been pushing for it. You know, we had the album come out during this, so it's kind of smart to remind people that, hey, we're still alive. We're a band and we have new songs too and all that stuff. And yeah, man, you know, it was fun. It was a lot of work. It was just 8 of us. It was the band plus our sound guy, Marshall. He was filming too. And his girlfriend, Michelle, and our drummer, Alan's girlfriend, Silvana. So, you know, it was pretty much an in-house affair. We did a few takes on each day of each song to get multiple angles and stuff like that. But it came out really cool. It sounds great. I think it's the best sounding live stuff we've ever like given out to the public, and looks great. So very, very excited how it came out. And it's goddamn hilarious because we got Neil Hamburger. We've got a claymation segment that's awesome with voiceovers by Mr. Brian Eschbach. And just a lot of funny stuff. There's some drunken moments that I didn't really remember that I didn't know until I saw the video.
That's always good.
Yeah, that's great, right?
Well, at least they showed you. They let you clear it first.
Yeah, they let me clear it first. But, you know, there's some nudity, of course. There's it's fun, you know. It's definitely I think on par with Majesty more so than the Fool 'Em All DVD that we did. Fool 'Em All got a little serious, you know, but this one's definitely us being freaks. And
that's,
you know,
great.
We were excited to see each other. We haven't seen each other since that whole trip to South Africa. So it was a nice reminder that, yes, we're a real band and, you know, we're still doing it. We still exist. And
it was almost like a momentary return to normalcy.
Kind of, yeah. You know, like the amount of work, too, especially lugging all that stuff, 4 different locations, setting up tons and tons of Christmas stuff and the cameras. And yeah, it was very tour-like for a few days there. Definitely a lot of waiting around, a lot of lifting shit. But the end result is cool and I'm happy.
I'm sure you felt good like doing something, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that was, you know, that was honestly the best part, just to get back with the guys, you know, just kind of like, yeah, it was the longest I've been apart from the band, you know what I mean? Like since ever, basically. So, you know, it was just a nice reminder that, yes, this is our life. And, it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of, you know, jokes and I don't know. They're just my best friends, you know what I mean? So being back with them and, you know, just letting it all hang out and being my complete idiot self is just how I like it, man. It's fun.
Was there any spooning while reuniting?
Not through the night, but there was definitely some man grabbing going on.
Well, there was nudity. I want to cover
some
that.
Some man grabbing, some nudity. There's a couple clips out there now of me in the pink nightmare Christmas Story outfit, the rabbit suit.
Oh, we'll have to pull this up. Where was this? Was posted on your YouTube?
Yeah, it's in the first revealed clip.
Well, I have it right here. So let's take a quick little look. It's in this clip, right?
No. Sorry, this is the full song.
Lamb Goat Rob. They have it.
We're asking you to kindly mark your calendars for December 18th. That's the day that the television Christmas.
First of all, I just want to say, the production here is next level. That's Star Wipe. Can we go back?
That is
what you're paying for, people. This isn't some fly-by-night iPhone affair. This is top-notch Hollywood production here.
The television
Definitely.
Christmas spectacular Yule of All starring the Black Dahlia Murder will be available. Until then, here's a little sneak preview, a little taste, with a song called Sunless Empire.
You can't bring on an icon like Neil Hamburger and not go top notch.
That's the most sober I've ever heard Neil Hamburger sound. What did you do to him?
I'm not sure. He's a little more zany in the actual special.
He's just being nice for Santa. He gets naughty later.
That's fair. Yeah,
did you fly him out or did he tape all of his stuff on his own?
He taped his stuff out in L.A. with Robbie, who is ultimately editing this thing. He did our first two DVDs as well.
Oh, cool.
And we had to do some sweet talking. Like, he didn't want to do anything inside, you know, because of COVID. So like the footage is shot outside at somebody's backyard. It was a friend of EJ's basically. So, yeah, man, we just got really lucky that, you know, that he was able to do it and was interested in doing it. And he was definitely really, really, really funny. Watching all the footage back, before it was edited and stuff, I was crying, man. It was some really, really funny stuff. He shreds us. He calls us fat slobs and all this stuff. It's awesome, dude. It's definitely right on brand for us.
That's great. So let me play a little bit of the performance, too. I want people to see this because this looks really, really cool.
Oh.
Yeah, the first Polish church in Detroit ever.
Just want to make sure the sound, you hear the sound, right?
Oh, yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
Did the people from the church know you were filming in there, or was this like a fly-by-night operation?
Yeah, they knew.
It'd be funny if some people just walked in to like try to have mass or whatever. There's this show going on.
Did they actually check out the lyrics beforehand? I would think not, right?
No, like it's just a historical site now. You know, the people that maintain it and stuff are not religious. They use it for all different kinds of functions and they were really excited to do something like this, and they were like, tell your friends, we want to have more bands come in here. And
that's great.
Yeah, it's cool. Definitely a beautiful spot. Like when I first walked in, it was just like mind blowing. You know, there was so much information for your eyeballs. It was like, whoa. And the church is so old. It's like before people could read, you know, there's like everything is pictured on the walls. There's so much like historical kind of like pictures and stuff like that, and yeah, it was definitely a trip, man. Really awesome that worked out.
What was it like being on the altar and just like, I mean, I know that you didn't really have sound amplifying or anything, or did you?
Yeah, we had like we didn't have a PA, but we had monitors.
Mm-hmm.
And
what was that like?
It wasn't as bad sounding as I had like expected. honestly in there. Like, we played venues that sounded worse than that, that sounded more like a cave or a butthole. So, you know, it was kind of surprising. I think it may be just like the hanging tapestry or whatever it was, you know, a little bit deadening. And
I think they designed the churches so that when people sing, you know, like, reverberates off of the walls. So I imagine the acoustics were good. But what was it like, I guess, like being on the altar and like just like facing it all?
It was cool. It was surreal, definitely. You know, it's just like it's a super old place. You think about just how many people have gone through there, and you know how many sermons and things like that have happened. And it was cool. It's definitely cool.
What was the issue that you couldn't use the normal equipment?
I guess we could have brought like full on amps and stuff, but I don't know. Just those. Well, you were using those mini heads at our practice space. And they sounded just as good. So we're like, ah, fuck it. Who cares? Okay. You know, we used to be the guys that, like, if you watch the Majesty DVD and when we first headlined Summer Slaughter, we had 4 guitar cabs per side, you know? And, you know, it's just us lugging all that shit. And it was a lot to carry. It was a pain in the dick, you know? And then eventually we were like, all right, we just saw Converge play with torn up half stacks and they sounded just as good. And I'm sick of pushing this crap. So, you know, we sent a few of them to Europe. We have a backline in Europe that we use, so we like sound the same as we do here. And we have a drum kit over there and some other shit like that. So that's kind of like been cool. But yeah, we're not, you know, we don't care about, you know, that we're using mini heads. Hey, look, who cares? They sound great. It came out awesome. So.
And I love that you're not like one of those rock star vocalists that don't help with the gear. You know, everyone's in this together in your band, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, lots of people make jokes about that kind of stuff, but yeah, I'm really that guy. I help out. When I see other singers that don't help out, I get like like my, you know, it's all that shit is all your guys' responsibility, you know. The drummer especially, like I kind of default to helping the drummer a lot, like getting his stuff out of his cases and, you know, doing stuff like that, just because I have the least amount of work, you know, and he's got the most. And you know, we don't have techs very often, you know, drum tech especially is not in our vocabulary. So, you know, we're just one of those bands that like, as soon as we're done playing, we start packing up our stuff right on stage and just at the risk of looking like assholes, you know what I mean? But that's just kind of how it is. You've got to be economical. You know, there's a lot of bands out there that like, you know, we've been very fortunate to be in, a bus situation the last few kind of big tours and stuff like that. But, you know, we'll go back to the van. We have no qualms about that. You know, we realize that, you just can't spend all your money on like trying to look cool. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like the money you're spending on techs is money that you're not making then.
Right. Okay. Right. So, you know, pull up your big boy pants and shove an amp, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And, yeah, we just prefer to keep things in house, and you know, and those are kind of notes that we took from bands like Converge too. You know, just doing it DIY, and yeah, you know. So sometimes there's some humility that comes along with it, you know. But yeah,
it's
we prefer that.
Out.
Yeah, it's working out. It keeps us afloat, and we're able to stay afloat. You know, we work hard. This, you know, this whole thing is throwing a wrench in it, of course. But
I was going to say, you know, like your ability to make new income has become much more difficult because it requires people gathering in confined spaces. So, you know, have you been taking the odd job or has the band worked out in such a way where you've been able to still kind of live off band earnings, or what's going
on? We've taken some like advance loans from different sources and stuff like that, and kind of called in all of our favors over this to kind of like get some money coming in. And the stream hopefully will generate some fundage for us. And you know, I've been on Cameo. Brandon did some guitar lessons. Alan has been doing drum tracks for people for cash. Max is like a loan broker now, aside from what he does with the band, and he also does signage on the side. So yeah, he's got many jobs. Brian has been delivering weed, which just makes total sense, you know.
Legally though, legally.
Yeah, legally in Michigan, he's delivering weed, And dude, Brian especially needs something to do. Like, he is just like, he's always doing something. He's always working on the band and always doing shit. So he was really lost without anything to do. You know, me, I was thankful. I'm like, hell yeah, pajama pants time. You know? and honestly, like, I was really lucky. When I moved, when I sold my place to move out here, it had appreciated a lot. And, you know, I've been sitting on some money that's helped me through this, thankfully. Otherwise, I'd be in a panic, you know, the cost of living out in New York and, you know, not much income coming in. It's not great. But, you know, between all those different sources and Twitch I was doing for a while, that was getting pretty lucrative. I need to get back on there. I was just kind of giving my eyes time to adjust. I got LASIK during this whole thing.
Oh.
And yeah, they still get dry as fuck from staring at a screen for a while. So, you know.
Did you get the LASIK where they like have to cut your eye open or laser?
Oh yeah.
Isn't that any LASIK? Don't they cut your eye open no matter what?
Yeah, yeah. they cut a flap open, then they burn your cornea with a laser and you can smell your eye burning.
No.
Yeah, you're awake for the whole thing, and the whole process is only a few minutes long, honestly. Oh. But it was fucking terrifying. And they were like, "All right, we're gonna really need you to calm down, you know, and relax." Like, A, that's not in my vocabulary. B, like, this is like the opposite of when you can relax. You know what I mean? Someone is about to shoot a laser in your eye. And
so is this like, yeah? So this is like a Clockwork Orange, basically.
Yeah. Did they put clamps on your eye?
Yeah, it was like they did the clamps. It was like Clockwork Orange meets Jacob's Ladder for a minute. It was fucking scary. And
is it like a James Bond movie where like the laser's approaching and you were like, no?
Yeah, the laser's approaching.
Can you see the laser? Is it like a tangible thing or is it just...
No, you don't see any beam or anything. You just kind of like see like where it's going to come out of and you know it's time. You know, after they did the first eye, the second eye was way scarier because I knew what was coming. You know what I mean? Like, then I was really wiggling. You know, I was really concerned that, like, there's no way that I've been still enough during this process.
Yeah.
How many people you think run out with one eye done? Like, no, I'm done.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. I'm going to call it, you know.
And they've numb your eye before, right?
Oh yeah, they numb it seriously, and like the very first thing they do after you're numb is like put this like suction cup thing on your eye that makes it bulge out.
No.
And your vision goes black for a minute, like you're blind in that eye afterwards. Wait. And
then you think they've made you blind for a second, probably.
Well, you gotta they tell you about that part, so you gotta just kinda roll with it, you know.
Jesus.
And like right afterwards, they let you go home, and light, you're so sensitive to light. Like, imagine looking into the sun like you've done at some point in your life times a million. Like, literally any daylight or any like light bulbs or anything was just like, help. So I come out of there, my girlfriend meets me in the hall, I'm like boogering, crying, my mask is just like all disheveled, and I'm like looking like shit, and she's like, how are you? I was like, get me out of here right now.
Is that how your girlfriend sounds? How are you?
Yeah, she's like, how the fuck are you? So, you know, I'm like rattled, and they tell me on the way out, they're like, could you get a hold of yourself before you walk through the lobby? You scare the fuck out of the patrons that are coming in to get lasers.
Don't walk out there and go, my eyes! Yeah. Oh my fucking God!
I crawl out and start grabbing their pant legs and stuff. We get outside. We're waiting for the Uber. We're like covering. I have like a hoodie over my head. I have this 3-ring binder like I'm using as a shield. I have sunglasses on. They give you these like really jocked out, awesome like sunglasses that would have been cool in like 96. So that,
like Ray Charles sunglasses?
Sort of, yeah. Like sunglasses that Vader would wear like in like the early 2000s or something. And, so the ride home is fucking hell. I'm bouncing all over the place.
Oh, no.
There's sun coming in so brightly. I'm trying so hard to cover my eyes and not. And there's like sun's coming through my eyelids. And it's just hellacious. I'm boogering up my mask. I'm still crying. You know, like it sucked. It was a really long, really shitty ride home.
Like Liam Neeson and Darkman is trying to cover.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dark. I needed some wraps. I needed to be like full on mummied up, basically. So you go home, they drug you up so you'll go to sleep when you go home. And when you wake up to take a piss, you can see. And yeah, there it was, man.
That's good.
So
I gotta get a colonoscopy this next week, and I'd rather have that than have my eyes lasered. I just can't.
Dude, yeah, I need to get a colonoscopy too, man. I'm
gonna go together.
Yeah,
yeah, let's go together. We can look in each other's eyes.
Oh, hold hands. No, they're putting me the fuck out.
Yeah,
I would prefer that method too. It does not sound too fun, but I do know that I need to get it done. I mean, 40 is, I'm staring down the barrel of 40 here. You know, it's time to take a look inside this fucked up body and see what's going on.
I'm 46.
Fart and dust, man.
Yeah.
Oh, so check this out. So, I talked Dave Davidson into getting his eyes done at the same place. Right. And, you know, I told them, the doctor and stuff, like, oh, my friend Dave is coming through here. He's a fellow musician. We've toured together. You know, he's a good friend. But then I told Dave that I talked to, and I was like, yeah, I told him that you were my arch nemesis and to burn your eyes right out of your skull because you were like my main competition in the music industry.
Love it.
Check this out. There's more though.
Oh, no, I want to hear.
So Dave goes, you know, I tell Dave about my experience, and I offer to like go with him on the day of his surgery, you know, and like see that he gets into his Uber and gets home, and you know, I'll hold the 3-ring binder over his head or whatever it takes. And he's like, ah, nah, man, it's cool. So dude just gets the surgery, walks out, jumps in the Uber, gets home without any kind of consequence whatsoever. And doesn't seem to be having any kind of the same like experience that I had whatsoever. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just like a huge, huge pussy, or I don't really know. But yeah, you know, I was pretty surprised that Dave was just like, nothing, man.
Well, this is being a hard ass. I want to mention, if you want to talk to Trevor, you can give us a call 213-WIDENUT, 213-943-3688. Also, we got our chat going, and some people in our live YouTube chat are commenting. Jack writes, Jack is calling you out, Trevor. Poor Trevor is on a LASIK storytelling tour. I think this is the third pod/webcast I've heard him recount this experience. I think it's time for me to hop on the LASIK train.
Oh, well, it's working then.
The brand ambassador.
You know, it was scary, but I would do it again, and I have no regrets.
Toya says, I'm unsure if I'll ever really want LASIK. Fuck.
Yeah. I just bought 2 glasses. I spent so much money, and I'm just, like, terrified of any eye stuff. I can watch, you know, like, a body get dismembered, like in a horror movie and all that, but just when it comes to eyes, it just creeps me out.
I heard Riz Ahmed just created a movie about that.
Yeah.
Very scary. One more question from the chat. Andrew says, I'm a huge The Black Dahlia Murder fan. Trevor, what was your inspiration for the song Jars, besides yummy brown sugared long pig?
Well, I don't know. I had this idea of like a song about pickling humans in the old memory bank for a while. And yeah, I don't know. Just when I heard that riff, I was just like, jars, people in jars, you know, different body parts in jars. And the character in the song is like in Alaska, basically, or somewhere that like the sun doesn't go down for half the year. And that's kind of like mentioned in the song. So somewhere remote where you might go crazy. But yeah.
All right. Very cool. And now you mentioned your cameo. And one thing we've been doing on the show lately is we've been having a real fun time reviewing celebrities' cameos, because some of these people, as I'm sure you've seen, charge a lot of money. Like Vince Neil charges $300 to do a slurry drunken cameo where he doesn't even get the person's name right.
Yeah, that one was the best. You know, that's the definite what not to do cameo. That's the reference. But I have poked around and watched a lot of different people's, and some people are fucking terrible at it, man. Like, they don't even, like, read it beforehand or, like, do any preparation, you know? They just throw themselves into it. And it's
it
like
just sounds like their agent is like, dude, right now, open the Cameo app. Let's go. You got to do them. He's like, all right, what? Steve?
Yeah, staring at the paper and trying to sound it out. It's not a good cameo.
No, you got to do the homework beforehand, you know? And I do, sometimes I do several takes where I'm like, I think I really liked number three the best, and that was the one.
Well, that's cool. So we wanna do a quick little on-screen critique of your cameo. First of all, I commend you on being a very affordable $30, very reasonable, literally 10% of what Vince Neil charges for a cameo, and I think many other, you know, overpriced celebrities, I would say. So $30, good deal.
I took a page there from Keith from Every Time I Die. I went to see what he was doing for his price. And I was like, 30, that sounds good. You know, our fans could afford it easily. And, you know, we'll go for quantity.
Right. You don't feel like you're ripping anybody off.
No.
It's still worth your time.
Did you consider going $29.99 just to price him out?
Yeah, so it would just look better, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I should do that.
And also, look at – you clearly showered. You've combed your hair.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, Cameo's been good for keeping my shower regimen going, you know?
Now, let me ask you this. How much extra does it cost for you to do the cameo in the shower?
I did one in the shower, actually, for the band Fluids. You know, their social media is always like gore and gross stuff. So I wrote the Fluids on the wall of the shower with disembodied hair, first of all.
Nice.
I haven't done that many really weird ones. There's some where like people like want me to roast their friends. Those are pretty funny. There was one where a mom was yelling at her son about like leaving beer cans in the shower and dog shit in the backyard.
Oh no. All
right, let's play a few. Yeah,
I see, by the way, I see you got a Jism shirt there. We just were talking about that movie, right? Riz Ahmed, and he had a Jism shirt in that one. Have you seen Sound of Metal on
No, I haven't.
It's good. It's not really about metal. Like, metal is like, you know, a background like decoration in the movie, but still cool. First of all, your enthusiasm is off the charts here. This is great. Already worth every penny, I would say, especially compared to some of the other ones we've played on the show.
You know, I definitely use the same face that I put on for like interviews and, you know, talking to the fans and stuff. So it's kind of like, I feel like I'm a natural, I guess.
Oh.
Oh,
great. 5 stars.
Yeah, at first it felt a little bit criminal in the same way that Twitch did for me. Like what am I getting paid for here? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
Twitch. What are you doing?
What was I doing on Twitch? I was playing video games and talking Metal Shop with fans and like DJing for fans and stuff. It was fun. Cool. It was fun for a while. I look forward to getting back into it as soon as these eyeballs are ready, not drying out every 30 seconds, you know?
Let's listen to another one.
A lot of the stills, though, of like the pause screens of me on here are funny looking, where I'm like,
yeah, you look so sad,
or like
here.
One eye open.
It's very well framed, though. So that.
Thank you.
Aw.
Oh. Aw.
Oh, you even speak for now. You gave love from the guys. Did you give them a share of this cameo?
No.
Since you,
oh, no. I'm using their love for free. They don't know that love out. Honestly, my band could hate these people for all I know. Yeah, boy, always going for your boy.
Oh. What if his inappropriate jokes are, you know, problematic?
I'll never know. I can only assume that he's at, like, typical drunk uncle status, you know? He's got the nudie playing cards, you know.
So these are great. And if you want a cameo from Trevor, you can go to cameo.com/ Trevor TBDM, the Black Dahlia Murder initials.
Yeah, there's still time to get those Christmas wishes in there.
Is there anything you won't say? Because it seems like you're pretty much up for anything.
There's some stuff I guess I wouldn't say. I haven't been asked yet, you know. For the most part, I have very little shame, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm a pretty good candidate for this.
Is there anything that you think stands out that maybe is a little shameless that you did read?
Man. I don't know off the top of my head. There's been some really funny ones. Going back to that scolding the kid in the shower was really – Or the kid that left his beer cans in the shower.
Yeah.
Like, you're pissing your mother off. I remember that was the end of it for sure.
So do people write you a note about what they want you to say? Like,
yeah. See, that's a cool thing. They tell you what they want, and when you're filming it, they put the text over the screen, like over your face, so you have the script right there.
Oh.
You know, I still prefer to like read it a couple times and, you know, get the gist of it before, like, I see some people like reading every word for the first time, like on the video, you know what I mean? And it's painful. So, yeah, don't do that.
Okay. Good tips. Now, so I wanted to play one more cameo, although this one, not from you, Trevor. Like I said, we've been reviewing cameos and this one has been making the rounds. So I want to just cue it up right now. And it's from Smokey Robinson. And here it is.
Oh, Smokey.
Part in front of it where he's like
I'm sorry, I don't know, I thought I had the full one here.
Someone gets him to do a cameo and like says that his mom used to live on his block, and you know, so he's talking about that and how like, oh, you know, we used to live.
I found the whole one. Let me
good.
I could just play the
it's whole worth one. It
yeah. Do you think this is the first time he's read this? Because he could see his reading. Or do you think he's practiced this a little? Trevor, what do you think?
It's hard to tell so far. Let me see a little more.
That's sweet.
I see you're living in Vancouver.
Like, if he's doing cameos, like he doesn't just have a flip phone. Like, I know he's got the internet. You know?
But also, it's like he recorded this on the first day of Hanukkah. Like, you'd think it was on the TV, at least, you know? Everywhere.
Well, he probably spelled Hanukkah with an H.
That is
you
a
know,
good point.
Or you think he would look it up. Like, there's a couple times where I have to look up how to pronounce something or a name or, you know what I mean? Like, do the homework, man. You know, don't let the world know you don't know what Hanukkah is.
Can I just say, who writes to Smokey Robinson looking for a Hanukkah wish? Is this the guy that you're the go-to guy for Hanukkah blessings?
Well, it just so happens that, you know, these people are Jewish that lived across around the block. But also, they probably, I'm assuming they spelled it with the C-H.
Right.
You think that's what threw him off?
I'm a big proponent of the H spelling. It's just phonetic, you know, boom. You don't need
I am too, and I think most of us are, but I think most of us could deduce that it was fucking Hanukkah.
Chanukah.
Right.
I'm like,
happy Chanukah.
He's, for someone who's worked in the entertainment industry as long as Smokey Robinson, like, I'm Jewish, and I guarantee Smokey Robinson knows more Jewish people than I do. So he knows what the fuck Hanukkah is. There's no excuse.
He knows what Hanukkah is. He just doesn't know what Chanukah is.
He doesn't know that Chanukah is Hanukkah. Smokey.
So our phone lines and our chat are open. 213-YNET is the number. 213-943-3688. Lord Zhang Fei in the chat asks, Trevor, sativa or indica? Also, do you have thoughts on the band Carnivore? Longtime fan, seeing the Black Dahlia Murder probably a dozen times.
Awesome. I'm more of a sativa guy, but I'll go either way. You know, I'll smoke any sick weed, basically. But, you know, I try to save the indicas for the end of the night or, you know, when you have the time to be couch locked. Yes, definitely a carnivore fan. It's cool to live here in New York where there are so many carnivore fans and so many typo fans. Very cool. And, yeah, thanks for coming to see us. Hopefully we get each other in the flesh soon when this crap is over. Right.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to be doing on Friday during the stream?
I thought I'd watch it, do some cringing. yeah, that's about it. There's no like discourse with the crowd, unfortunately, with the route that we took. But yeah, you know, maybe I'll figure some kind of chat situation out, maybe a Discord or something. Who knows?
Still have a couple of days to figure it out.
Yeah, you know, we're just pulling this entire thing out of our asses, basically. So. Now that it's done being edited and stuff, there's definitely been some relief. And it's funny. I'm really happy with how it's come out. And, you know, so I think this will segue into some kind of a release as a download or a physical copy eventually because, you know, we put a lot of work into it and it's really cool and sounds fucking great. So get those tickets, boys and ghouls.
That's right. We'll have a link on the episode page for how you can purchase it. And, you know, it is interesting, though, that you actually, let me play this other promo. This was the one you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I have it queued up here. I believe I do. Yes.
See the bunny suit for a second here.
All right. Can we see it? Because, or
see the screen share. Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, saw your stuff folder.
All the things that we weren't supposed to see, Rob.
Oh, no.
Where do you stuff the things in that folder?
Did you see me having the Jeffrey Toobin New York Times article up? Oh, my God.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you were doing a Jeffrey.
Yeah. No.
I worried for a second.
Not again, Rob.
We don't want to have Metal Injection fire you.
All right, here we go.
Oh,
there we go. Very, very cool.
Did you get to keep the bunny suit?
Yeah, last I saw it when I woke up from the night of the big blackout, it was entirely covered with dirt and leaves. And now that I've seen some of the footage back, I've pieced it all together, but I don't think anyone's going to be wearing it again. It got pretty raggedy. You
should auction that off.
Yeah. We have a lot of stuff to auction off. We have like a garage full of banners from all the different albums that we've done. And we wanted to auction them off to make money for our crew during this time. So maybe we'll do that coming soon. So if anybody wants a nocturnal banner for their room, we have three of those full-size nocturnal banners. So get your
big. Get it on Cameo.
It looks very nice. You know, it's very Christmassy and colorful. And then your Zoom stream is like a Dimmu Borgir video. Like, I feel like the I don't know if that's on purpose or the LASIK or something. Or it looks very nice, whether it's intentional or not.
I don't know what's going on over here. You know, I have no technical abilities whatsoever. This is just how the camera came on, man.
It's art, man. It's like a Bergman film or something.
It looks very grim. You look like you're in a grim lair.
Yeah, like a cold and frosty room.
It does have a sort of blue-black tint to it compared to everybody else, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good thing. It works well.
Not complaining.
Yeah, no,
not at all.
Oh, man, I'm coming straight out the ice cave, you know?
I do want to ask, you know, how is it that you haven't quit music altogether now that you've heard David Hasselhoff's brand-new metal song, Through the Night? Or have you not heard it yet? Is that why?
Guys, I haven't heard it yet. I think we should listen to it.
Well, this is big. This is big. You might remember a few weeks ago, we talked about this on the show, that David Hasselhoff was kickstarting a music video for his new song, Through the Night. And they were asking for 6,000 euros to fund the video, which is a lot of money. They ended up getting almost 20,000. 19,654 euros from 492 backers. And here's the video.
Let's see what that money went to.
Kind of sounds like Howard Jones.
Don't disengage. You're right.
Now I want Hasselhoff to front Killswitch.
I want to say, like, he didn't write the music, obviously. He's just performing the vocals.
What cost $19,000 to make, do they have Kit at the end of this?
That's coming.
They explained in the Kickstarter, it's like visual effect. I don't know.
This looks like After Effects.
Pay someone to make effects look that good. Oh, the backing vocals.
Did you just say they stand with the virus?
Oh, go back. We stand with the virus.
Yeah, this is a very bold take.
I like it better your way.
Yeah. What does he say?
We stand undivided.
Yeah.
I thought you said we stand on the back.
It'd be saying we stand on the virus, and that's how you kill it.
I think there is a niche there for a metal band to come out with a pro-virus song.
Of course. There's been bands about, like, fucking murdering Jesus Christ and stuff. Like,
oh, well, it's already happened.
Pro-virus?
Brujeria did, like, a very offensive song, COVID-666.
Oh, wow.
They really went for it.
Yeah, I didn't know they had their own news channel. That's cool.
Ooh.
Shane is playing drums?
Yeah.
In the world?
Well, if it's going to be in Spanish, Darren, you're going to have to translate for us.
Yeah.
I can't even understand when they growl like that in English.
Okay, coronavirus kills you all.
Hold on. I'm trying to hear it. A la chingada means like let's get fucked. Nos vamos a la chingada. What happened here? There's nothing in the market.
Toilet paper gone.
Yeah.
I can't make it out when he's singing. I need the captions.
Yeah, there's
Rob, how did you know to be offended by this?
Oh no, bro!
I heard coronavirus no sueño. That means like,
I forget what it was, but like they mentioned something about it being like the Chinese flu or something like that.
Can we just say that in the freeze frame you have right now in the corner, there's a cat and a cat tower peeking out.
Yeah, hell yeah!
Oh,
so good.
I love it.
See, you don't need $19,000 to make a video. You do it right in your house with your cat looking at you.
Yeah. Trying to sleep. Dad's making noise.
I got to pull up the lyrics if you wanted me to. I can translate them from written speech.
Okay.
Sure. Hey, ¿qué pasa con el mundo ahorita? What's going on with the world now, right now? Una locura estoy yendo. I'm seeing craziness. El mundo está preso. The world is like stuck in their houses. So he's just really saying what's going on with COVID.
Yeah.
Pandemia, dicen médicos. The doctors say it's a pandemic. Y el mundo en pánico. The world is in panic. Todos creen que el mundo se acaba. Everyone thinks the world is ending. Con plaga china, with the Chinese plague.
Oh, boy.
So it's really, I'm looking out over. It's just like he's really just live blogging coronavirus.
Okay.
Like what's happening and blaming on China.
Well, they canceled all the concerts. They quarantined me. Prisoner at home. They leave me without pulling.
Yeah.
There's
a funny line here. Con que limpio mi culo si no tengo papel? Usa tu mano. What am I supposed to wipe my ass with if there's no paper? Use your hand.
Nice. Got to get that bidet, buddy.
Yeah.
So.
It doesn't sound pro-virus, though. You're down, right. Rob.
I'm sorry.
I think the controversial part was blaming on China.
Yeah, I think that was the issue, really.
I thought this Hasselhoff jam was going to be like less Rammstein and more like Judas Priest, I guess.
Oh, do we get to the hook? Let's get to the hook.
Okay.
Well, this band is like an electronica type rock band, right?
Here we go.
He's really, really energetic. Look at that pose there.
Dude, that dance was hard as fuck.
He's so Botox.
Like, did they do like two takes with him? It's like the same shot of him.
No, he just doesn't want to pull his back.
Yeah, he's like 68 years old, and he can't. He's got so much Botox flowing through him. He can't move.
Some of the footage of his face looked like a really shot webcam. Like,
yeah. He looks like he's carved in Mount Rushmore or something.
And it's like, is that even his body? Or is it just his head on somebody else's body?
Could be. Who would know?
It's a hologram.
Money they got.
Maybe that's why they needed all that money, to superimpose his head on other people's bodies. Because he would only do two takes.
They needed to shoot David Hasselhoff with full of adrenochrome so they could get him out of the house.
I like that part.
Yeah, it's like there's some good mellow death in here, I think.
I heard the cat from Brujeria gets in this video at some point.
I want that cat to be in every video.
That cat is what costs $19,000. Very, very popular. He's so hot right now.
I wish Inflames sounded like this now.
Ow.
Well, I was going to say.
They kind of do.
They kind of do, but not quite. You're right. I call it like easy listening Gothenburg. That's their style now. It's like adult contemporary Gothenburg is kind of what they're doing.
So like Air Supply Gothenburg, you're saying?
Yeah, just like, you know, like there's metal-ish parts, but it's like very mid-tempo.
They're just aging with their audience.
Yeah.
That's all.
Through the night.
Ow.
Through the night.
See, Black Dahlia Murder does not age with its audience. We're shooting right for those 15-year-olds still. And I'm still 15 upstairs. So there you have it.
It's like Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. You're the band version of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, Rob, would you say this song is as catchy as The Devil Made Me Do It?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yeah.
No, the Chris Holmes song is Stature. Have you heard this new Chris Holmes song?
Oh God!
No, I have not. I have not.
Well, we're gonna watch it again because
shit, I just got it out of my fucking head.
Wait! Is he drunk?
Oh yeah! Listen to these lyrics, buddy.
If he's not drunk, he might as well be.
And like genuinely, like the lyrical content is terrible, but the song structure is just so infectious.
Yeah. He's great at writing music, but not words. Or earworms, let's say.
No, the words
here
are...
Here we go. Don't tell him what to do.
Everything about this video rules.
Yeah.
What?
Drink and drive.
Fuck yeah. He loves to drink and drive.
Not like just something that happens when you get, no, it's the goal. He goes out planning to drink and drive.
Well, there were a few cops that stopped you. You got like five DIYs in here. Like,
five DIYs? Wow. He's DIY. Drunk.
I'm just rounding down because I did it 200 times.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They found the one guy that worships him. That's cool.
All the time.
It's just a whole mall of people standing there that have no
that
idea.
That crap shot was awesome. Yeah, the crap was just like, welp.
They're in like the Mall of America or something. Like they came out of an Orange Julius and they have no idea who this is singing.
The best part is that the second verse continues talking about how he's drunk driving.
Did I mention drunk driving?
So you're telling me that there's takes from this song that they didn't keep?
Yeah. I said that last week. Like, well, imagine the conversation at the record label. They were like, can you just take out the meth part and like the. No. All right, just knock it down to drunk driving. Can you do that? Okay, fine.
Like drinking while I drive, taking off my mask.
That's the next song.
Yeah.
How am I supposed to wipe my ass if there's no toilet paper?
Covering brujeria.
Or somehow, like, the mask will be used to wipe. Use the mask to wipe your ass.
Yeah,
oh, that's a
go.
Good song.
Then put it back on.
Yeah. Don't tell me to wear a mask. Yeah. I'll use it to wipe my ass.
Oh, man. He wishes he wrote that one. That would have been bigger, I think.
I sneeze on you intentionally.
I'll get my droplets on you.
I'll lick a subway pole because I don't fucking care.
Oh, Lord. Lord.
There's no COVID stopping me.
Oh,
man. 2 days later, Chris Holmes has coronavirus in intensive care.
I'm on a ventilator. Oh, yeah.
He recorded that album at Electric Ladyland Total Landscaping.
Oh,
yeah. Wow.
Oh, man, he looks rough, dude. I mean, he looks thoroughly pickled.
He's one of the people in the jar.
Yeah,
no, he is. He's preserved for sure.
Well, you know, speaking of people that look pickled, I wanted to pull this up, Trevor. This is not metal, but metal adjacent. Zombie Angelina Jolie. This woman. Who this Iranian woman, who got plastic surgery, who's obsessed with Angelina Jolie and got so much plastic surgery that.
Wait,
the article says
she used makeup and editing.
Oh, I'm thinking of a different person then.
There's multiple zombie Angelina Jolie.
There's a woman, maybe it's an Israeli
He's
woman.
He's combining two stories.
Yeah, I'm combining.
No,
thank
it's
you,
Doug. This lady, and she, and. Like they like threw her in jail or something for using Instagram.
Oh, just a woman got in jail. just for the use of the Instagram. You can't have a metal band. You can't use Instagram.
That was nice.
Sounds like a good country to me. I'm on board.
That was nice of Green Day to provide the soundtrack for this Instagram story, though. So why was she, was arrested for what exactly?
What was
just
she
using Instagram?
Female on Instagram for being female on Instagram.
Oh.
For being a zombie Angelina Jolie. Oh,
Sahar Tabar, whose real name is Fatima Kishvan. So,
she's charged with corruption of young people and disrespect of Islam. So, yeah, it's very much like the heavy metal story, basically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of that band?
I'll look it up. She was charged with blasphemy, inciting violence, gaining income through inappropriate means, and encouraging youth to corruption. I guess Iran isn't fans of the OnlyFans business model.
Is there a picture of what she looks like without that stuff on?
I'll try.
Yeah, that picture is disturbing a little bit. Like, yeah. Look at the wrists. Like, that's a very small, destitute person right there.
Yeah, like, I don't know how much of this is really makeup, right?
Is that actually her hand, or is it a prop?
It looks also like more fair. Like a prop or something altered, you know, in post.
Okay, there is a before. I guess the New York Post is all over the story.
Band is Confess.
Oh, that band. Oh, I thought you meant the band. There's two bands. But yeah, Confess for sure. But Arsames was the latest band. Confess, all of them thankfully were able to flee the country.
It really does look like Angelina Jolie, that is a zombie.
Yeah.
Yo,
is she making a political statement of some kind, like that Angelina Jolie is a zombie?
Was she influencing other women to walk around in zombie makeup?
Has Angelina Jolie weighed in?
That's what I was going to ask that too.
It does not look like.
Are you implying that I am looking more undead lately than usual?
I just noticed that one of the related stories there was that Hitler's pet alligator is on display somewhere.
What?
In Russia. Look, the middle one. Hitler's pet alligator.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Hitler the New York had a Post pet is... alligator?
Well,
wait, how is the pet alligator still alive if it hadn't been stuffed before? That's what I want to know. Like, wouldn't it have had to...
Oh, he just passed away?
It was on ice? I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
No, alligators have a long life, I guess. Yeah. That's how recent... the Holocaust was, that an alligator could have lived a full life and still been alive.
Wow. Deep.
One final story I wanted to quickly mention before we let Trevor go, and thank you so much for being so kind with your time.
Yeah, for drying out your eyes and being on our podcast.
Yeah, thanks to you guys. I can't even blink anymore.
Was it
seriously
worth it?
When I wake up now, like now that the heat's been on a little bit, like I can hear myself blink. It's like,
it's so crusty. You're going to start a grind band with it.
Yeah.
Like a bowl of Rice Krispies.
Yeah. It's so crusty. I'm going to sew a back patch to my cat.
And then it'll be in a Brujeria video.
Yeah.
This was the story. I thought it was so cool. Dude wakes up from I did it again, folks. I shared my whole screen. Here we go. Dude wakes up from a coma and finds his favorite metal musician as his respiratory therapist. And so, you know, I thought this was cool. So this guy said he was in a coma. He woke up in a 3-day coma. Guy came in, woke me up and said, "Mason, my name is Terry and I'm here to take out your breathing tube." I opened my eyes wider and my first words were, "Terry Taylor from Hammerlord?" I remember him asking if I had any Hammerlord stuff, and I told him I had the album Wolves at War's End. I got a package a few days later with a bunch of Hammerlord stuff. The rest of the band came and visited me. So I want to say, and I want to play a little Hammerlord in a second, I want to say this is a very cool story, but I'm not sure how I would feel if a musician from my favorite band was right next to me if I woke up in a coma. You know, like, James Hetfield, you're my therapist.
Yeah, I was just thinking, wait, like, wait a minute. Dave Mustaine, You're going to take out my tube? I don't trust it.
What do you mean I can't take out your tube?
Think your blood is red, but it's not. Okay. It's very beautiful. All right, let's play a little clip of this this Van Hammer Lord, and then we'll let Trevor go.
I'm ready.
Oh, they're in a ring.
Wow.
Oh, and there's some wrestling going on here.
He's also wearing a belt, a title belt.
All right. Oh, there's a nice little Tom G. Warrior.
It was decent.
It wasn't the singer that was the hospital worker, right?
No,
he
the guitar.
The bass player.
Okay, good.
Or the bass player?
I don't know. Terry.
No. It was Terry.
I don't want to say anything ill of Terry, so good. I'm glad.
No,
Terry.
Terry's out doing good deeds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was the bassist.
Playing metal and, you know, making this kid's fucking life. So
yeah.
Props
though,
to Terry.
Though I just sort of have to say, maybe if the singer was better, Terry wouldn't have to have a side job at a hospital. Just think about that. Cut that information away for post-pandemic.
Roll that around, Hammer Lord, all right?
Maybe this dude that just came out of the coma can sing.
Oh yeah, maybe he's the real Hammer Lord, dude.
Trevor, thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been such a pleasure to see you again.
Oh, it's lovely to see you and to see any human beings for that matter.
Yes. Hopefully this vaccine will not suck. It'll be safe enough for all of us to soon be in the same room together again.
Would like that. I like the part where we smoke the big joint and when we eat all the snacks too.
Yes. That was sorely missing from this get together. Yule 'em All is your new special. It's this Friday.
Yep. 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's up for 48 hours. So if you're somewhere else in the world, you still get a chance to watch it. You can watch it as much as you want. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll bang your heads.
You can go to nightshiftmerch.com to order your tickets.
It's only $9.99, a steal.
Ooh, less than Netflix. Make it happen.
Yeah, I hope so, man. We're hoping to
And you support your favorite band. Yeah.
Segue this into, like, being on demand somewhere after this. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Trevor, we will let you go. Thank you so much, and have a
great
day.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Much love. From Tire.
Oh, he cut him off, Rob.
Oh, he's going to say Tire Kingdom.
Oh, no.
Oh, Rob, with your trigger finger.
I thought it was just much love, and then that was the period. But that was that. It was great to talk to Trevor. And if you enjoy that, and if you enjoy our show, you know what we would enjoy? If you would do us a solid and give us a 5-star rating on your podcast listening app of choice, be it Spotify, be it Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. Please, it really helps us with our rankings. It'd be nice. And I want to wish all the Jews in the audience a happy Chanukah. I don't even know what that is.
Chanukah.
Yeah, it's a very weird word.
Where's the new coming from?
New metal.
I guess it had the tilt.
Maybe it was Chanu.
That's an N-U in the word. Like,
yeah, Chanu.
Chanukah.
Or maybe they did it with two N's.
That's perfectly reasonable if you've never heard the word Hanukkah. How could he not have heard it is the point.
Yeah. Maybe he's never seen it written out like that. Who knows? But also, we are on social media. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Find us on there. Give us a search. There's merch. We got merch. MetalInjection.net/livecast merch.
Oh, Rob.
Burping
Any
up a little
suggestion?
Bit. All that tooth coming back
like-
up.
We need to get like a box of Tums or something with the Livecast logo on it.
I use Pepsi. Pepsi is my go-to. I don't like Tums. I don't like that they taste like those candies.
Jolly Ranchers?
Mentos? No, the
Mentos?
No, the ones that look like...
Sour Patch Kids.
Skittles?
No, the
Reese's
boring
pieces.
No, the boring now ones that come wrapped in like a little piece of paper. No.
Toblerone.
Tootsie Roll?
Rolo.
Crybabies?
Nerds.
I just said nerds. Don't steal.
Oh, god damn it, sorry.
Whatchamacallits?
Oh, nice. That's a good one. Milk Duds.
The malt balls.
Yeah.
Goobers.
Tums don't taste like malted milk balls.
Raisinets.
Yes, they taste like Raisinets. That's it.
Ferrero Rocher.
They taste like kind of like the first thing that we were saying, like Mentos and stuff like that.
No, the
taffy.
The what's like the Halloween candy? It's in like the wrapping.
Candy corn.
No,
I know
like
what you mean.
Though.
I don't know what they mean.
Yeah.
Werther's Original.
They're little fruit flavored little pills, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nestle
Mike and Ike.
Crunch.
Yes, Nestle Crunch, exactly.
Oh, they're little tablets. They look like aspirin, but they taste.
Yeah. So last.
Pips.
Pips? The comedy club?
No, Peps. Pez.
Oops.
Pez.
Like
Pez. Kind of like Pez. Totally. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Glad we cleared that up.
Not Pez. I know what Rob's talking about. These are circular. I can't. Don't know why I can't think of it.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it. But... So anyway.
Question of the week. What candy is Rob thinking of?
What candy am I thinking of? Help me, folks. Tweet us or join our Discord.
We
never mentioned we have a live active 24/7 chat.
Yeah.
We do. All of us are in there. It's a Discord. The link is on every episode. Come hang out with us. Ask a question, comment, criticism, all during the week.
We have Instagram also. Am I Livecast?
Last week.
Injection Livecast. Am I Livecast is on Twitter.
Last week we talked to Mel. She mentioned how she messed with Frankie Palmieri. And we asked
Messed with? Like when you put it that way, it kind of sounds
pranked.
Like.
Trolled, yes.
Troll. Okay. Be more specific.
She would basically come up to him and say, have you ever heard of Robert Pasadena? Mm-hmm. And so we asked if she trolled any other musicians, and she sent us a response, which is actually something that she did mention on the show before, but we seem to forget. But,
every time, man. Someone's going to freeze frame your background and get some personal information.
Wrong. But, I wanted to do, so she sent a follow-up, and here we go. I'm getting it queued up here. Here we go.
Hey, Livecast, it's Mel. I'm responding to your response from my message last week. I definitely have trolled Disturbed before. I think I called you guys and talked about it.
Yep.
It was shortly after you had talked about on the show David D. Ranman calling that lady out for being on her cell phone during the show. Well, shortly after that, I think I want to say it was at Chicago Open Air or it was some festival. I definitely got to the front row, like front center, and turned my back and was on my phone the entire time. And I was even like passing out stickers for my band or something like that. Just doing anything to try to get him to call me out on it. He didn't, but we definitely made eye contact a few times when I'd turn around and he was giving me like a really dirty look and I felt super accomplished. Well, a few, maybe 2-3 weeks after that, I had a rehearsal at, we have these sound stages in my town where bands go to practice for arena tours. I had a rehearsal there and I was loading some gear in and I see the soundstage door next to us open up and people starting to load gear in. And I saw that stupid Disturbed smiley face thing on the side of the cases. And needless to say, I ran pretty quickly in to my rehearsal space for fear of coming into contact with him, because we definitely made eye contact a few times during that show. So he might have remembered me. So I didn't really want to have that conversation that day. So I just ran away. But yeah, good times. Hope you guys are having a good day, and I'll talk to you at some point later. Thanks. Bye.
He was probably trying to offer a falafel.
I like that Mel treats David D. Rainman the way Noah treats turkeys. You just run away at first sight. Just get me out of here. Can't have that conversation with that turkey.
He probably just wanted to give her a pita with falafel in it from backstage.
You think he has catering even offering. When he rehearses?
I mean, I'm sure he has.
Is it homemade? Does he make it himself?
Maybe for that rehearsal, he made it himself and just wrapped it up in like a plastic wrap, brought some from home, and he wanted to share it.
Rob, next time you got to find out if David D. Rainman has falafel and hummus recipes.
I'm not sure I've ever interviewed Disturbed.
Well, now you have a reason.
Well, you remember when he was at Sirius in the lobby, and I forgot how I started talking to him, but he asked me if I knew of any good falafel places.
Did you?
I sent him to Mamoon's in the village.
Classic.
Well, so we have a few other
hate mails.
Hate mails. You can email us hatemail@metalinjection.net. We'll read it at the end of the show here. And so we got this one from Kathy.
Kathy.
Kathy writes, "Hi, just like this year, no concerts. There will not be none next year, either until everything gets resolved with Vince Neil. There is a curse on everything." But I want to add, there was no punctuation in that email. I added all of that punctuation. It was really, "Hey, just like this year, no concerts. There will not be none next year either until everything gets resolved with Vince Neil. There is a curse on everything."
What's with Vince Neil?
What needs to be resolved with him?
His dead dog?
His weight?
Like I think they need to solve the mystery of the neighbors killing his dog. Maybe that's it.
And Razzle.
Oh, no. He finally has to serve his time.
Yeah, it hasn't been resolved. Razzle's ghost is still haunting him. He's not able to leave to the astral plane yet until that's fixed.
He took over the body of a bat and started this virus just to punish Vince Neil.
What if the third act of this movie is Vince Neil has to record a cameo to Razzle's ghost?
I mean, if only we were more willing to waste $300, we should make that happen. But
he's not available right now. I think after the bad publicity, he kind of took his profile.
Thanks, Rob.
For $300, rather than paying Vince Neil to do a cameo, I'd rather make a movie where someone plays Vince Neil and does a cameo, and that's our film. Like, we'll make a ghost film about this topic. I'd rather do that. See his dumb ass read off a paper half drunk.
Yeah, no.
Chris writes, "I was watching the Wayne's World Zoom reunion, and Lara Flynn Boyle showed up on screen. I guess I never looked up what she's been up to since Wayne's World and Twin Peaks, but she destroyed her face with plastic surgery. I don't know if there's any way to make this funnier, if you'd even attempt to, but I'm seriously scarred by just how unrecognizable she is. PSA for any woman or man listening, do not get plastic surgery on your face. Thanks for the years of good show. Everybody, let out a fart for Bruno, Chris from St. Louis." I always fart for Bruno, Chris.
I don't. I fart just to fart. But I do love Bruno and miss him.
I do it in his memory, I mean.
Oh, I see. Aww. So you're going to do it anyway, but you dedicate it to Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
Are you dedicated before or after?
After. Like just go.
Yeah, go ahead. I feel like he's... Fart. He's the man. It would be imitating his craft in a way that I could never live up to. Like he was the best farter of any living thing on earth.
And pooper.
Yeah, that I've never experienced him pooping, so I don't know.
Oh, he is a pooper.
Well,
he sure farted in my
face. Rob Ames did have.
I'd say he, I don't know if I'd give him best pooper. He was inconsistent. He was a streaky pooper. There were some good times and there's some bad times.
He was a multiple times a day pooper.
Yeah.
Here's what she looks like. Probably not good.
Lara Flynn Boyle.
Poor
girl.
She's
older.
Yeah.
She was going to look different regardless. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's Hollywood for you.
Yeah.
No, but
she looks,
you know,
like angry.
I had no idea. Like I saw that we had our email thread where that email was referenced, and I didn't go follow up and look it up, you know?
I poop so much.
Oh, that came in late. But, yeah, no, I didn't look it up, and I'm actually shocked. Like, I don't want to dunk on this woman because I know the pressure of being in Hollywood and all that, and people,
unfortunately, all those Instagram filters, it's only going to encourage more and more young girls to want to do this to their face and bodies.
Yeah, especially, I agree, especially the ones that like plump up your lips and like open your eye. It's just unrealistic. And then it's just like your digital avatar kind of becomes your mental image of what you're supposed to look like. And then when you look in the mirror, you're disappointed that that's not what you look like. And like, you know, human beings, we already have enough issues with our appearance. We don't need Instagram giving us even more.
But I can't imagine like Lara Flynn Boyle's like 55-year-old face looking naturally worse than that. You know, whatever age she is, I don't know.
Well, I think what it is you know, just either it's overdoing the surgery or just, you know, just keep going, like getting too many lip injections or whatever and like getting nerve damage.
She's actually only 50.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, it's her body.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not trying to shame. I was actually kind of feel a little like hesitant to even talk about this because I don't want to feel like I'm dunking on someone for being unattractive.
Well, we have to dunk on her. Which
well,
I
that's
don't
why
think
I'm
we
taking
are.
Care not to do. That's why I'm saying that, because I think it could be seen as that if we just even discuss this by certain people. But it's just sad.
Well,
it's just sad.
I hope she has the happiness in her life that she is seeking. That's what I will say.
That's very zen of you.
And I hope you are happy with this episode. And especially hope that our top Livecast fans of the week are happy. You could be a top Livecast fan of the week by, you know, hitting up your boys and girl at patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And for $10 a month, you get all the bonus episodes, all the $5 perks. Plus, we give you a little shout out at the end of the show, which is right now. And here we go. Going to kick it off with Eric. That's Rabba Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin. We got Benjamin, El Deuterino, Dan R, Cattle Decaf, Mindy Mayer's Kippa. And RIP Mindy Mayer, wherever you are. That's a free one. She's not a top Livecast fan. Back to the top Livecast fans. We got Croc Destroyer, Sam We Am We Is, Gender, Chasseurs, LaCroix, The Crustacean Sensation, a.k.a. Godstomper, Ash Bozhalov, Dallas, Rob of Vampiro, Shane, Hugo Likes Tacos, Lando Tanks. Those are top Livecast fans. I do. That actually just reminds me, before we wrap up, there's a new Squared Circle Pit episode, and I interviewed Triple H, and there was one moment during the... of course, you know, we've joked in the past about how he talks about his friend Lem. So I wanted to play a quick clip of that. Just a quick clip from the podcast of him. And it's really hard to contain myself. Thankfully, this is audio only because I definitely burst out laughing a little bit. So So here's a little of Triple H talking about Lem.
Yeah, Lem, obviously, we had never met before. I wanted my entrance music to sort of be in that vibe of their sound and their guttural feel, and we ended up getting them to do it, and then that would, over time, strike up a friendship, a very, very strong friendship between Lem and I, and that would last right up until the very end. And
I like the word Lem and I. What's your sign? It's Lem and I.
Very good Outkast album.
Aqua Lem and I. Yep.
I'm a leprechaun. Does he ever say my wife?
My wife throws me this crazy 50th birthday party where my wife.
When he first said it, I
you went and pulled it out.
And then he said it again.
My wife gets John Fogerty and
my wife.
My wife gets
my wife. So that's my Triple H interview. If you feel like a little pro wrestling, check it out on the Squared Circle Pit. We are all done. 598 is in the books. That means there's only one episode next week. That's 599. We're going to have our good friend, comedian Dave Hill, on the show, hopefully. And the following week after that, it's episode 600. It's a big one. If you've been with us for a while, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love a Zoom bomb.
Tell them what that is, in case you can listen/watch live
Tuesday, December 29th, 6 p.m. Eastern. We'll give you a link to Zoom, which is a video conferencing app. You can use your computer if you have a webcam on there or your phone, and you hit the link, you'll be in our room recording live with us, and you can hang out with us for a few minutes, and we'll talk, we'll chat.
Fun, no big whoop.
Yeah, so maybe you could do that. That'd be cool. And if you can't make it live, because, you know, it's a small time window, people are busy, different time zones, send us hate mail at metalinjection.net. Send us a text letter or record something. Yeah, record something with your phone and email us that. Email us that clip.
Send us a greeting. 600 show, not 600th anniversary.
It's our 12th anniversary.
600th episode greeting. It would be very nice to hear from you.
Order us a cameo from Baron von Raschke.
Sure. Or anybody. Chris Holmes.
I'm surprised he's not on Cameo.
Yeah.
If someone was going to buy me a Cameo, I'd rather have a poorly done one than a good one, I would think.
Yeah,
of course. That's me.
I stand with you shoulder to shoulder on that.
Thank you. I would also want to point out to you that the think candy I was talking about, I don't know if it was you were talking about, was Smarties. Not Smarties. Mm. Sorry, Sweet Tarts. The fruity version of Smarties.
Thank you.
Smarties is chocolate, like rip-off M&Ms.
Ah, it was killing me.
The fruity version of Smarties was Rob's nickname in high school, by the way.
Oh, he wasn't smart.
Come on. All right, we got to get out of here. It's too far. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday. Dave Hill, hopefully you'll be there too. Bye.
Too far.
All right.
Well, I wonder how many people will even hear that end part. I bet a lot of people turn it off when you start doing the shout outs.
There's always
a loss.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's a good like Easter eggs.
Miss playing the show related songs at the end.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, people in the chat were saying Smarties.
Smarties is not correct. Smarties is chocolate. It's like a little thing coming up.
Looks like it is Smarties actually, if you Google it.
Smarties has chocolate though.
There's chocolate Smarties, and then there's the thing I was just the not chocolate ones.
Okay, I associate Smarties with chocolate.
Chocolate Smarties was the original name for the movie Hidden Figures.
Oh.
That's a joke I would not say on the show.
Well, we're still rolling.
Oh, goddamn.
No, we're not. All right. Let's get out of here, folks. Good show. This is really good. I thought the Trevor thing went really well. Like,
he's fantastic.
Yeah. I like having like a little bit of time to open the show, bring them in, and then I like also like time to end the show.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah, I'll stick to that format. I'll schedule it more like 6:10 now or whatever. And I guess people are better with Zoom now, so it wouldn't take too long for them to connect their mic and stuff like initially. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Adios.